All right, let's jump right into today's deep dive. We're taking a look at the books of Kings and Chronicles.
Fascinating stuff, really.
We've got some excerpts from a lecture by Dr. Robert Van Noy.
Oh, yeah, he really gets into it.
He's comparing and contrasting these two accounts.
Yeah, you know, they cover a lot of the same ground, historically speaking.
But there are some pretty interesting differences.
For sure, different perspectives, you know.
So our mission today...
Our mission, yeah.
...is to figure out why each book tells the story the way it does.
Yeah, like what were the authors trying to say?
How does that change how we understand these events?
Right, right.
Like, for example, Chronicles just skips over...
Yeah.
...some of that more scandalous stuff with David.
Oh, right, right.
And there's even a part where it seems like Solomon is both giving away... Andy receiving cities?
Oh, huh. Yeah. What's up with that?
That's what we're going to figure out.
Okay, yeah.
It's like looking at the same thing through two different lenses.
That's a good way to put it, yeah.
Dr. Van Noy points out that Kings, which was written earlier,
yeah.
was probably meant for the Israelites during their exile.
During their exile,
So it's like reading their national autopsy report.
Well, autopsy report.
Trying to understand what went wrong.
Ah, got it.
How they ended up in exile.
Yeah, I see. Makes sense.
Exactly. Kings is looking back, trying to explain.
Trying to explain. Yeah.
How the choices of their leaders and their people led to the destruction of Jerusalem.
Wow.
And their exile in Babylon.
Heavy stuff.
Yeah, if you're trying to figure out how you got into a mess, you look back and see what went wrong.
Yeah, you got to figure out how you got there.
But Chronicles was written after the exile.
Oh, okay. It's a different situation then.
So it must have had a different purpose.
Yeah, for sure.
Chronicles is all about looking ahead.
Looking ahead. Okay.
It was written for the people who were returning to Jerusalem.
Oh, interesting.
Giving them a foundation to rebuild their nation.
Build, yeah.
And their faith.
For faith, yeah.
You can imagine... If you were starting over after a huge setback,
yeah, tough,
you'd want to focus on the positive
for sure
and inspiring parts of your past,
right? The good stuff.
That's what Chronicles does.
Focus on the good stuff. Yeah,
I guess if I were in their shoes,
yeah,
I'd want to focus on the good stuff too.
I wouldn't.
But it's interesting that Chronicles leaves out David's affair with Bathsheba.
Oh yeah, good point.
That's a pretty big part of his story.
It is, yeah.
Chronicles is very intentional about presenting David as the ideal king.
Ideal king. Wow.
The model for all future rulers.
A model,
Remember, these people were returning to establish a new kingdom?
Yeah, that's right.
They needed a unifying figure.
Makes sense.
So Chronicles is giving him a bit of a PR makeover.
A PR makeover.
Highlighting his successes.
Okay.
And his faithfulness to God.
Right. Gotta have that.
It even connects him to the Messiah.
Wow. To the Messiah.
Which would have been really important for the people at that time.
I bet, yeah.
Exactly. It sets him up as the perfect example of what a king should be.
The perfect king.
But both Kings and Chronicles address the idea that actions have consequences.
Right, right.
Dr. Van Noy brings up retribution theology.
Yeah, retribution theology, yeah.
This concept of sin leading to judgment and obedience bringing blessings.
Okay.
That seems pretty intense.
It does, yeah.
It's like a direct link between our choices.
Our choices?
And what happens to us.
Hmm, I see.
Is it really that simple?
Good question.
Both books seem to deal with this idea. How much of history is simply cause and effect?
Cause and effect, yeah. It's a complex question.
Yeah.
And these books acknowledge that
okay.
while retribution theology is a central theme in the Mosaic Covenant,
right.
both Kings and Chronicles show God's grace and the intricacies of history.
So it's not always so simple.
No, not always.
Sometimes bad things happen to good people.
Yeah, that's true. And sometimes the wicked seem to prosper. But ultimately, both agree that choices have consequences.
Choices have consequences, yeah. What's interesting is that both books... present this idea of sin and consequence,
okay,
but for different reasons.
Different reasons. Interesting.
Kings uses it to explain the exile, and Chronicles uses it to inspire the returning exiles to be faithful.
So to be faithful. Okay.
So listener,
yeah,
how do you see this idea playing out in the world today?
Good question.
Do we believe actions have consequences?
Right. Do we?
And how does that shape our own decisions?
Yeah, decisions. Yeah. Another interesting point Dr. Van Noy makes is how these two books sometimes seem to contradict each other.
Oh.
How so? Take, for instance, the story of Solomon giving 20 cities to Hiram, king of Tyre.
Okay, yeah.
Kings suggests that Solomon was in debt.
In debt, huh?
And might have used the cities as collateral.
Used the cities as collateral, wow.
And that Hiram wasn't even happy with them.
He wasn't happy with them.
But Chronicles mentions Solomon rebuilding.
Rebuilding, okay.
And repopulating those cities.
Uh-huh.
But doesn't mention any exchange with Hiram.
Wow, so what do you make of that?
That's a tough one.
It's almost like two people describing the same party.
Yeah.
But one focuses on the food,
okay.
And the other focuses on the conversation.
The conversations, right.
Both could be true.
Mm-hmm.
Just different perspectives, right?
Different perspectives, yeah. Could be. It seems that way.
Yeah.
Kings is focused on the events leading up to the exile.
Okay.
Showing how bad decisions led to negative outcomes.
Gatorade.
Chronicles focuses on the rebuilding.
Uh-huh.
And might be downplaying the negative aspects of Solomon's reign.
So both could be telling the truth.
Could be.
Just highlighting different details for different reasons.
Different details, different reasons, yeah.
It makes you wonder, listener.
Yeah.
How often do our own perspectives shape the way we understand and retell events?
Good question. This brings us to the fascinating concept Dr. Vinoy introduces, dischronologization.
Dischronologization, wow.
Essentially.
Yeah.
It means that the order in which events are written in the Bible...
Okay.
Might not be the exact order they happened in.
Wait, so they might have rearranged the timeline.
It might have, yeah.
Hold on, let's unpack that.
Okay, yeah.
Why would the authors do that?
Why would they? Yeah.
Does it mean we can't trust the Bible as a historical document?
That's a big question. It doesn't necessarily mean that there's a difference between reordering events to emphasize a theme.
Okay, I see.
And actually getting the facts wrong.
So if an author is trying to make a specific point...
Uh-huh.
They might rearrange things a bit.
They might, yeah.
Like a director using flashbacks in a movie.
Right, flashbacks.
It's not changing the story.
No.
Just the way it's told.
Exactly, just the way it's told. But this raises an important question for you, listener.
Right.
Does knowing that biblical authors might have rearranged events change how you view the text?
Good question.
Does it make it less meaningful?
Well, less meaningful, right?
That's something to think about.
Yeah, we're starting to see these books in a whole new light, aren't we?
We are.
There's so much more going on beneath the surface.
Definitely.
Dr. Vinoy also mentions an article by Ray Dillard.
Okay.
That suggests biblical authors might have used factual errors to support their points.
Factual errors?
But Dr. Vinoy doesn't agree with that, does he?
No, he doesn't.
He pushes back pretty strongly against that idea.
He does, yeah.
He argues that while we might not be able to resolve every discrepancy...
Okay.
...or fully understand every detail...
Every detail, right?
...we shouldn't just dismiss parts of the Bible as inaccurate.
So don't just dismiss them, okay?
So even though we might find some puzzling parts...
Yeah.
...or things that seem to contradict each other...
Right.
We shouldn't assume the Bible is wrong.
Don't assume it's wrong. Got it.
It's more about approaching it with a bit of humility.
Humility, yeah.
And recognizing that we don't have all the answers.
Right, we don't. And maybe those inconsistencies are invitations.
Invitations. Okay.
To dig deeper.
Dig deeper. Uh-huh.
And consider different perspectives.
Yeah, different perspectives. That's good. We've definitely covered a lot of ground in this part.
We have.
And we're just getting started.
Just getting started.
You've begun to unravel the layers of meaning and purpose.
Layers of meaning.
Behind Kings and Chronicles.
Okay.
And it's making me even more curious about what we'll uncover next.
Yeah, me too. In part two.
Okay.
We'll delve into some specific examples from these books.
Specific examples.
And see how those seemingly minor differences.
Seemingly minor differences, yeah.
Can actually reveal some really fascinating insights.
Fascinating insights.
Into the author's intentions.
The author's intentions, got it. Okay, so we're back.
Back for more.
Ready to dive deeper into Kings and Chronicles.
Deeper, yeah.
It's fascinating to see how these two accounts, while telling the same basic story.
Same basic story, right?
Such different flavors.
Different flavors, yeah.
And focuses.
Yeah, different focuses. We've seen that they offer distinct perspectives on the same events.
Yes, and that makes you wonder why.
It really does, yeah. In this part, let's explore some key themes from Dr. Vinoy's lecture that might shed light on these differences.
One thing that stood out to me was how much Chronicles emphasizes David's role in preparing for the temple in Jerusalem.
Oh, the temple, yeah.
Even though it was Solomon who actually built it.
That's right, Solomon built it. That's a great observation.
Thanks.
Chronicles really draws a strong connection between David and Solomon, presenting them as partners.
Partners, okay.
In fulfilling God's plan for Israel.
It's like Chronicles is saying, hey, remember that amazing temple our ancestors built?
Yeah.
Let's bring that back.
Bring it back, huh?
It seems very strategic.
Strategic, yeah.
Especially for a community.
Okay.
Trying to reestablish their identity.
Reestablish their identity, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
For the returning exiles.
Mm-hmm.
The temple would have represented a tangible link.
A tangible link.
To their past.
Yes, their faith.
Their faith.
Right.
And their shared history.
So Chronicles is giving them a blueprint.
A blueprint, okay.
For rebuilding.
Yeah.
Showing them how their greatest king prioritized the temple.
So David prioritized the temple.
Yes.
Okay, I see.
So by emphasizing David's preparations, mm-hmm. Chronicles is saying, this is how we rebuild by restoring the proper worship of God.
By restoring the proper worship.
Now, it's inspiring.
It is.
But it makes me wonder why Chronicles barely mentions the Northern Kingdom.
Oh, the Northern Kingdom, yeah.
It's almost as if it's trying to erase it from history.
Erase it from history. Well, it's not quite erasure.
Okay.
But Chronicles definitely downplays the Northern Kingdom's significance.
Downplays it, okay.
Remember,
yes.
Chronicles is primarily focused on the Southern Kingdom of Judah.
The Southern Kingdom, right.
That's where the returning exiles are from.
Right, so it's a very Judah-centric narrative. Judah-centric, yeah.
But why would it gloss over the Northern Kingdom's history?
Why would... Part of it might be streamlining the narrative.
Streamlining, okay.
For the returning exiles.
Uh-huh.
But there's also a theological aspect.
Theological aspect, okay.
Chronicles emphasizes the Davidic dynasty
okay.
as the rightful line of kings
mm-hmm.
chosen by God to rule.
Chosen by God, right.
The Northern Kingdom, having split from Judah,
right.
represents a break in that divinely appointed order.
So by minimizing the Northern Kingdom,
minimizing it,
Chronicles is strengthening the idea
okay.
that the Davidic line is the only true line of kings.
The only true line? Hmm.
It's like saying,
yeah.
This is the lineage God chose.
Okay.
And this is where our focus should be.
This is where we should focus, right?
It makes me wonder if there's a political motive there, too.
A political motive.
Especially considering the new leaders
uh-huh.
emerging after the exile.
Emerging after exile, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Interesting point. Many of those leaders would have claimed descent from David.
Oh, from David.
Chronicles is subtly reinforcing their authority.
Their authority, okay.
And legitimacy.
Legitimacy, right.
By connecting them to this unbroken line of kings.
Wow, that's really interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating.
It's amazing how these seemingly small differences
mm-hmm.
in how Kings and Chronicles tell the story
right.
actually reflect these
bigger
theological and political ideas.
Theological and political. Wow. It's easy to miss those nuances.
It is.
If you're not paying close attention.
You're not paying close attention, yeah.
Another theme that comes up in both books
okay.
is the idea of covenant faithfulness.
Covenant faithfulness, okay.
How the kings either honored or broke their agreement with God.
Honored or broke.
But Chronicles seems to hammer on this point even more.
Hammer on it more, okay. That's true.
Yeah.
It constantly highlights.
It does.
How faithful kings were blessed.
Bless them.
And disobedient kings face judgment.
Face judgment, right?
It seems to be saying.
Seems to be saying, yeah.
Follow the rules and good things will happen.
Okay.
Break the rules and bad things will happen.
Simple as that, yes.
Yeah.
That's a simplified way to put it.
Okay.
But it's important to remember that Chronicles is presenting an idealized version of history.
An idealized version. Okay.
It's emphasizing the principle of covenant faithfulness.
Covenant faithfulness, really.
Leading to blessing.
Uh-huh.
But doesn't necessarily mean it was always that straightforward in reality.
So it's highlighting the big picture idea.
The big picture, yeah.
That obedience brings reward.
Obedience brings reward, right?
Even if there were exceptions.
Exceptions, yeah.
Or things weren't always so clear cut.
Not always so clear cut, right. Exactly.
Yeah.
This message would have been especially important.
Important, okay.
For the returning exiles mm-hmm. as they were rebuilding their lives.
Rebuilding their lives.
Their relationship with God.
So it's like a reminder.
A reminder, yeah.
If we want to succeed as a nation,
mm-hmm.
we have to be right with God.
Right with God, yeah.
No shortcuts.
No shortcuts. I like that.
This ties back to that retribution theology idea we talked about earlier.
Retribution theology, right?
Chronicles really seems to believe in that connection.
That connection, yeah.
Between actions and outcomes.
Actions and outcomes. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. The chronicler sees a direct link.
Okay.
Between the choices people make.
The choices they make, right?
And what happens to them.
So their choices determine their outcome.
In a way, yeah. It's not a simple formula.
No.
But there's a strong emphasis.
Emphasis on what?
On both the negative consequences of sin.
Okay.
And the rewards of obedience.
Rewards of obedience, right. And for a community just returning from exile.
Yeah.
Having seen the devastation.
The devastation.
Caused by their ancestors' unfaithfulness.
Right.
That message would have been incredibly powerful.
Powerful message, for sure. Yes, they had experienced the devastating consequences firsthand.
They had, yeah.
Chronicles is basically saying...
Saying what?
Let's not repeat those mistakes. Learn from the past and choose a different path.
Learn from the past, choose a different path.
Yeah, that's good. It's a message of hope and restoration.
Hope and restoration.
Okay.
But also a warning.
A warning, right. It's a reminder.
A reminder, yeah.
That we can't just assume God's favor.
We can't assume it.
We have to actively choose faithfulness.
Actively choose faithfulness. I like that.
Dr. Vannoy also points out that Chronicles tends to idealize the kings of Judah.
The kings of Judah, okay.
Especially David.
Especially David, yeah.
Yes.
And as we discussed earlier, that includes leaving out the whole episode with Bathsheba.
The whole episode, wow.
It's choosing to emphasize a specific image of David.
A specific image, okay.
Focusing on the aspects of his life.
Okay.
That align with its message of covenant faithfulness.
Covenant faithfulness, right?
And ideal kingship.
So they're presenting him as a role model.
A role model. Look at David. He was a great king who loved and obeyed God.
Loved and obeyed. Okay.
If we want to be a great nation again, we need to follow his example.
Follow his example, right.
But is it accurate?
Is it accurate? Good question.
Does this idealized portrayal?
This idealized portrayal.
Make Chronicles less reliable as history.
Less reliable as history. That's a question that challenges us.
Challenges us how?
To think deeper about what historical truth really means.
What historical truth really means, yeah.
Is it about recording every single detail?
Every single detail, okay.
With perfect objectivity.
Perfect objectivity, right.
Or can it also be about conveying a bigger truth?
A bigger truth.
A theological or moral message.
Theological or moral, right?
Even if it means being selective with the detail.
Wow, that's a really good point.
Yeah, it's something to think about.
It's not just about what happened.
No.
But why it's being told in a certain way.
Or why it's told that way, right?
It's about the message.
The message.
The meaning behind the events.
The meaning behind the events, yeah.
Is just as important.
Just as important, I agree. Precisely.
Yep.
And that speaks to the sophistication.
Sophistication.
Of biblical storytelling.
Biblical storytelling, right?
These aren't just dry historical records.
Not just dry records, okay.
They're carefully crafted narratives.
Carefully crafted,
Designed to communicate deeper truths.
Deeper truths.
About
huh.
God,
humanity, right.
And our relationship with each other.
So it's not just a history book.
Not just a history book, no.
It's a library of different genres.
Different genres. I like that.
Each with its own purpose and style.
Purpose and style. Right. Precisely.
Yeah. Okay.
And Kings, while being more critical of the kings.
More critical, yes.
Still acknowledges God's grace and faithfulness.
Grace and faithfulness.
Even when they messed up.
Even when they messed up. That's interesting.
It doesn't shy away from their flaws.
Okay.
But it also shows how God continued to work through them.
Continued to work through them.
Yeah.
Even with their flaws.
Even with their flaws, yeah.
So it's not as simple as...
Not as simple as, yeah.
Good kings equals good outcomes.
Right.
Bad kings equals bad outcomes.
Not quite. There's more nuance to it than that.
More nuance, okay.
Yeah, right.
So Kings recognizes...
Recognizes what? That even the most faithful people make mistakes.
Everyone makes mistakes.
Yeah. And that God's love and willingness to forgive and restore are constant.
God's love and willingness to forgive and restore. Wow.
It's a much more realistic view of human nature.
Realistic, yeah.
Yeah.
But how do we reconcile that?
Reconcile that, yeah.
With Chronicles' more idealized portrayal.
With Chronicles' portrayal, right?
Is one more accurate than the other?
Is one more accurate. That's a great question.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
And one that scholars have debated for centuries.
For centuries, wow.
Maybe it's not about one being right and one being wrong.
Right.
But recognizing that both offer valuable perspective.
Valuable perspectives, okay.
On the same events.
On the same events, yeah. It makes me think about how we often tell and retell stories.
Tell and retell stories.
From our own lives.
From our own lives, yeah.
We might emphasize different details.
Different details,
Or... Leave things out.
Leave things out, right?
Depending on who we're talking to.
Right. Depends who you're talking to.
And what point we're trying to make.
What point you're trying to make, yeah.
But does that mean we're lying?
Are we lying? Or are we just shaping the narrative?
Shaping the narrative, okay.
To highlight certain truths.
Highlight certain truths, yeah. What an interesting question.
Yeah, it really is.
And that's what makes setting these books so fascinating.
Fascinating, uh-huh.
There's always more to discover.
Always more to discover, yeah.
More to ponder.
To ponder, mm-hmm.
More to learn.
More to learn, absolutely. And it's like each book is a thread in a tapestry.
A thread in a tapestry, okay.
And it's only when you see them all woven together.
Woven together, yeah.
That you get the full picture.
You get the full picture, right. Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's why it's so important.
So important to what?
To read and study the Bible in its entirety.
In its entirety, okay.
Not just picking and choosing the parts we like.
Not picking and choosing, right?
Or agree with.
We have to be willing.
Willing to what?
To wrestle with the difficult passages.
Wrestle with the difficult passages, yeah.
To consider different perspectives.
Different perspectives.
And let the text challenge our assumptions.
Challenge our assumptions, right?
In those moments of struggle.
Moments of struggle, huh?
That we often grow the most.
That we grow the most, yeah. I agree. I completely agree.
Yeah.
And that's what both Kings and Chronicles invite us to do.
Invite us to do. Okay.
They invite us to look
okay.
at the complexities of history.
Yeah, complexities of history.
To grapple with the consequences of our choices.
The consequences of our choices, yeah.
And ultimately.
Ultimately, yeah.
To discover God's unwavering faithfulness.
God's unwavering faithfulness. Wow.
Even when we fall short.
Even when we fall short. That's powerful. What a powerful insight.
It is.
We've uncovered so much.
So much, yeah.
About Kings and Chronicles.
About Kings and Chronicles, right?
But there's still more to explore.
More to explore, for sure.
In part three.
Part three.
We'll look closely at specific examples.
The specific examples.
Of
right?
how these two books present different accounts of the same event.
Different accounts of the same event. Got it.
It will be fascinating to see
yeah.
what those differences reveal.
What they reveal. Uh-huh.
About the author's intentions.
About the author's intentions.
Stay tuned. Welcome back for the final part of our deep dive.
We're going to be wrapping things up here.
We've been exploring Kings and Chronicles.
Seeing how these two books offer different perspectives.
On similar historical events.
Yeah, it's been fascinating.
We've seen that they have unique purposes.
And focus on different themes.
And in this last part.
That's part, yeah.
We're going to zero in on some specific examples.
Specific examples, okay.
From Dr. Vannoy's lecture.
All right.
To see these differences in action.
In action, yeah.
Dr. Vannoy brings up that story about Solomon giving and then seemingly getting back.
Oh, right.
Those 20 cities from Hiram.
Hiram, king of Tyre.
Yeah, I remember being confused about that.
It's definitely one of those head scratchers.
It is.
In Kings, it seems like Solomon gave those cities away.
Gave them away? Why?
Well, because he was in debt to Hiram.
Oh, in debt. Okay.
And Hiram wasn't even that thrilled with them.
He wasn't happy with them.
But then Chronicles just says that Solomon rebuilt and settled those cities.
Rebuilt and settled, huh?
No mention of Hiram at all.
So what's going on there?
Yeah, it's a good question.
Is one of them wrong?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
We've talked about how Chronicles is often selective.
Selective. In what way?
In what it includes.
Okay.
Focusing on what supports its message.
This message, yeah.
Of Davidic legitimacy and religious restoration.
So those details about the city exchange, maybe they just weren't important.
To the chronicler's overall purpose.
So it's more about what they choose to emphasize.
What they choose to emphasize, yeah.
Rather than a factual error.
Exactly.
Like those two people describing a party, right?
The party analogy, yeah.
One focuses on the food,
mm-hmm.
the other on the conversations.
Both could be true.
Right? Just different angles.
Different angles, yeah. It all comes back to the context and purpose of each of them.
The context and purpose.
The Chronicles, written for the returning exiles.
Yeah.
It's like a pep talk.
A pep talk.
Reminding them of their heritage.
Okay.
And encouraging faithfulness.
Encouraging faithfulness, right?
Kings written during the exile.
Written during the exile. Okay.
They're more of a cautionary tale.
Oh, a cautionary tale.
Encouraging reflection.
Reflection on what?
On the consequences of straying from God's path.
I like that.
Pep talk versus cautionary tale.
Yeah. Makes you realize there's so much variety even within the Bible.
Variety. For sure.
This isn't the only example.
No, it's not.
Of these two books presenting different takes on the same event.
Right.
I'm thinking about that big omission in Chronicles.
Yeah.
David's sin with Bathsheba.
That's a big one.
It's full of drama and consequences.
Right. So why would Chronicles just leave it out?
That's what I'm wondering. It seems strange.
It does, yeah.
Especially since Chronicles goes to great lengths.
Uh-huh.
To paint David as the ideal king.
The ideal king, right?
A model for future rulers.
So why leave out that part of his story? Again, it comes down to purpose.
Okay, purpose.
Including the Bathsheba incident would have tarnished that image.
Tarnished his image, right?
Even though it doesn't negate David's repentance later on.
Right. He did repent.
Chronicles is presenting a specific vision of David.
The specific vision. Okay.
Highlighting the aspects that align with its message.
So it's not that Chronicles is denying that it happened.
No, not denying it.
It's more like a sculptor.
A sculptor.
Choosing which features to highlight in a statue.
Ah, I see.
Shaping the material to create a certain impression.
That's a good way to put it.
But wouldn't that make it less reliable as a historical source?
That's where things get really interesting.
Really interesting. How so?
It makes us think critically about what historical truth actually means.
What historical truth means. Okay.
Is it about recording every single detail?
Every single detail.
With absolute objectivity.
Absolute objectivity, yeah.
Or could it also be about conveying a deeper truth?
A deeper truth.
A theological or moral message.
Theological or moral. Okay.
Even if it means being selective with the details.
So it's not just about what happened.
Wow.
It's about why it's being told in a certain way.
The why behind the what.
Right. It's about the message.
The message.
The meaning behind the events.
That's what makes it so fascinating.
It really is.
It speaks to the sophistication of biblical storytelling.
Biblical storytelling.
These aren't just dry historical chronicles.
Not just dry chronicles, okay?
They're narratives. Carefully crafted.
Carefully crafted, uh-huh.
To convey profound truths about God.
God, yeah.
Humanity and our relationship with each other.
Wow, that's beautiful.
It really is.
It's like each book is a piece of a larger puzzle.
A piece of a puzzle.
Offering a unique perspective.
Unique perspective.
Yeah, well, it contributes to our understanding of the whole.
That's a great analogy.
Thanks.
And it's why it's so important.
Important to what?
To approach the Bible with an open mind.
Open mind, okay.
Ready to encounter different genres and styles.
Different genres and style.
Mm-hmm.
Each with its own purpose.
Right. It reminds us that the Bible isn't just one thing.
No.
It's not just a history book or a rule book.
No.
But a complex and multifaceted tapestry.
A tapestry, yeah.
Of stories, poems, prophecies.
And logs.
All woven together to reveal God's truth.
Beautifully said.
I hope this deep dive has encouraged you, our listener.
That's right. To engage with these texts.
These texts and all sources of information.
With a sense of curiosity and wonder.
Curiosity and wonder.
We've explored so much about Kings and Chronicles.
Their different perspectives.
Their unique purposes.
And how they combine history.
Theology.
And storytelling.
We've learned to read them.
With a more discerning eye.
A discerning eye, yeah.
It's not about simply accepting everything at face value.
No.
But digging deeper.
Digging deeper, uh-huh.
Questioning.
And considering the why behind the what.
The why behind the what, right?
And those questions.
Yeah.
Those aha moments.
That's what makes learning exciting.
That's what we love.
Absolutely.
So this deep dive is just the beginning.
Just the beginning, that's right.
Keep exploring.
Keep asking questions.
And keep discovering the richness and depth
of these ancient texts.
That's a wrap on our deep dive into Kings and Chronicles.
It's been a pleasure.
We'd love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, your aha.
Moments.
And any questions this has sparked for you, keep diving deep.
Into the world of scripture and history.